Good morning, all. Heavenly Father, we don't just celebrate Christmas because we love a public holiday and a day off work. There is something special and something unique about this child who was born into our world and why he came into our world. We ask and we pray that as we look to see about who this child is and what was spoken about him beforehand and what was spoken about him afterwards, that we might see the true joy of Christmas and why it is that this is something that we will never cease to celebrate. So encourage us through this time that we might see Jesus clearly and we might see the beauty of this child born. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Now, as a kid, I was a big fan of Christmas. Regulars here know that I've got the least expressive face, but as a little kid, I was excited come Christmas time. And even though kids went along, we went along with the family church week after week after week. Sorry, Mum and Dad, none of my excitement had anything to do with Jesus. My excitement was presents, going to see Santa at the shopping centre, singing Christmas carols. I confess I did like those tacky Christmas movies as well. Eating too much food on Christmas Day, having a nap on the Christmas afternoon because you've eaten too much food. But I reckon the hardest thing as a kid is waiting for Christmas to happen. It just seems to take for ages, doesn't it? And when you can't even count and someone tells you what day it is, you think, how long away is that? Now, you've got a bit of a help. Advent calendars. Each day you open up, you get a chocolate. And you can sort of see by how many doors are still closed, how many days it's yet to come. But that only works if you're self-disciplined enough to only eat one chocolate a day, doesn't it? We had a special rule in our house for Christmas Day. No one was allowed out of bed before 6 o'clock because my enthusiasm was well above and well waking up before six. So that meant I wake up at 4 o'clock, staring at my alarm clock, waiting for 6 o'clock to turn over. Then we'd get out of bed, rush on down. My grandmother, who would stay down overnight for Christmas, we had this thing where we'd pretend we were a spider on a face because that's what loving grandkids do to wake up their grandma. And I can confirm my grandma never died of a heart attack on Christmas Day. But then when all the day's gone, you just start looking forward to the next Christmas. Now, it was always something I looked forward to. But from the Bible's perspective, or the perspective of what we celebrate at Christmas, it's talking about an anticipation. It's talking about an expectation and a waiting for something. But not just some of these things that I've spoken about. Awaiting a person. Awaiting Jesus Christ. And there's some degree which I think it's got to probably sound pretty ridiculous to people. That anyone would be excited about Jesus being born. Now, his parents weren't anyone particularly important, rather poor people. When he's born, they didn't even have somewhere for him, so he gets placed in a food trough. Lives for only about 33 years, people end up not liking him, and then he dies. You think, that doesn't make sense to celebrate that. It sounds a bit of a dud. But to order to understand what was anticipated, we need to know, what were they expecting? What had been said beforehand about this child? Did you even know that things were said about Jesus well before he's born? Hundreds of years before he's born, there were things written saying who this child was and what he would do. Which tells us that Jesus isn't just part of history, but he's part of a bigger plan and a bigger purpose. Now, if you're familiar with the Bible, you know that the place where the Bible begins is that God creates all of the stuff, creates the first human beings, Adam and Eve, and they're living the dream. No fighting, no arguments about who's doing dishes, perfect relationships with one another, perfect relationship with God. God, who lovingly created them, has also provided everything around them for them to enjoy. And you think, that's pretty sweet. But if you have a look around, that's not what our world looks like today, is it? Now, quite famously, in that scenario in the garden, there was one tree where God says, if you eat from this tree, you will die. Now, initially that seems a little bit weird, doesn't it? That God is good and he's loving and he gives them all this stuff, but then he gives them one and says you can't have it. But it's also really minuscule in the overall perspective. There's like, we've got all this. We've got it made. We've got all this stuff. We've got God. We've got each other. Everything. We don't have all this conflict and difficulty we see today. As a matter of fact, they seemed actually quite comfortable. There was no complaints like, oh, why can't we have that one, God? I wanted you to think about it this way. Imagine there's the world's best pizza shop. Yes, I can work pizza into a sermon. It's the greatest pizza shop in the entire world. You can't even walk up. You can't expect to get a delivery. If you don't book 12 months in advance, you ain't getting in there. And the owner gives you a special card and says, Steve, or insert your own name because I doubt your name's Steve. You can use this card. You can come in here, eat any time you like. I don't care if it's booked out. You come in, eat as much as you want. It's on the house. My gift to you, you just can't have Hawaiian pizza. Now, you go in there and you think, I get all of this that people have to wait a year to get. How nice was this bloke to give it to me? You're not sitting there going, oh, Hawaiian pizza. I'm missing out. Now, sure, you might think it's a little bit weird. You might even see people eating this pizza and it actually looks quite nice. But there's something within you that says, hang on, this guy has been so good. He's given me all of this. I know him. He's a nice guy. So if he says I can't have this, he must have a good reason. And I'm not going to disrespect him. And funnily enough, there's something about our human nature in terms of respect and ethics that says, even though I don't get it, this guy has been so generous towards us, there's no way I'm going to disrespect him. Meanwhile, back in the garden, Adam and Eve, they're enjoying all the things God's provided. As I said, they're not complaining that there's one tree they're not supposed to eat from. All was going great until Satan comes along in the form of a serpent. And he starts to say, did God really say you can't have that? He's trying to plant this thought into their mind that if this God's good, he's not going to tell you can't have something, is he? And as we know, they ate. They ate that fruit, which was more than just doing a little naughty sneak in a bit of fruit that they weren't supposed to eat. There was a complete change in their thinking. It was a complete change from thinking, here we are, God's created us. He loves us. He's given us all of this stuff, and it's great living with him and in relationship with him, to changing to saying, we don't need God. We're going to make our own decisions. We're going to be the boss of our own life. That's what the Bible calls sin. And when we talk about sin, we're not talking about just particular bad stuff. Like when people hear the word sin, they think, oh yeah, murderers, all that sort of thing. Sin is more of an attitude. It is rejecting the God who created us and has given us absolutely everything that we have. And turning our back on him, saying, sure, you've given us all the stuff. It's wonderful. I don't want you. Stay out of my life. And this kind of brokenness has passed down through all of us. Now, you watch the news on any given night and you'll see something about the nature of humanity, how it is corrupted. Now, you see some horrific things and you think, well, there's no way that I'd do that, and hopefully you wouldn't. But if you ask the person who's done them, they will tell you why they did it, and they'll think what they did was actually the best thing they could do. When we start doing what we think is right in our own eyes, we do all sorts of things. And when we reject God as being our king, as being the one to we obey and who is our loving ruler who gives us everything, what we do is we all decide we're the boss. Who's ever been in a workplace where everyone's the boss? And how good does that work out when everyone's, I'm the boss, I'm doing it my way, and this person over here says, I'm doing it my way. And that's the world we live in. I see it in my own life. How corrupted and broken things are. Like, I do things which in my mind seem like a really great idea. And I hurt the people I love the most in the process. I do things and I come down and I have huge regrets. And it's like, I chose that. At the time, I thought that was a wonderful idea. But in the garden, Adam and Eve were living the dream. And there's something within each of us that kind of longs for that. This, when we hear about what life was like for them, and it's like, that's kind of feels like what I was created to be. Now, some people, when they hear living the dream, they think, yeah, that sounds great. But let me show you something of the corrupt nature of us. That some people think, it sounds great, except the God bit. Have you noticed how we naturally do that? How something naturally within us can think that having God in this situation is a bad thing. Where does that come from? Because if you think about all of the things we don't like in this world, when we look back to the beginning, where there was these two people living in relationship with God and with one another, that stuff wasn't there. The time when they were there in right relationship with God, all the stuff we desired was there. There's no reason to think that having God around is a bad thing. It's a good thing. We see his loving, caring, creating and providing all things. He's worthy to be honoured. Everything he's done for our good, even when he says don't eat from this tree, he said this is for your good. Therefore, imagine the rejection it is to the one who provides and gives everything for our good to say, nah, don't want you. Get out of my life. Yet every single one of us have at some point. You know what's even stranger? Every single one of us most likely, when I gave the pizza scenario, thought, I'm not going to eat the Hawaiian pizza. That'd be so rude. That's just a pizza shop owner. And we think that's wrong. Yet the Almighty God who created all things, who's doing everything for us for our good, providing everything for us, we seem comfortable with, nah, not letting you tell me what to do. Now, I had an expression in the family I grew up in, you've done your dash. Kids, you heard that one? You've done your dash. You know, it's kind of like you've done something wrong and your mum's saying, nah, there's no going back. You're going to take the consequences of it. Is that what happens when Adam and Eve turn their back on God? In that very same chapter, the third chapter of Genesis, God says, you know what? One of the offspring of this woman, Eve, is going to be the rescuer who is going to reverse the effects of what's happened here. So right in the beginning of the Bible, you see things looking forward to this child. Time goes on, and 700 years before Jesus is born, we're not going to have time to look at everything beforehand. But the prophet Isaiah, that Samuel's already read a little part of, in chapter 7, he comes back and reminds them about this child who's coming. The Lord will give you a sign, and behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, just take it from you and me. Virgins don't give birth to kids. It doesn't happen. But the part of you might also be thinking, this says they're going to call him Emmanuel. I thought we were talking about Jesus. But hold that thought. We'll come back. And then two chapters later, as Samuel read earlier, again speaking of this child, the one to come, for to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, the way it sounds, this child who's going to be born is Mighty God, coming into the world that has turned their back on him. How's that going to go? He's coming to a people who have rejected him. Imagine how you react when you've done everything for someone and they just come back and spit it in your face. Is your natural response to lovingly do something for them? Yet what is spoken here of Jesus, he's coming, Mighty God, not Wonderful Destroyer, Prince of Peace. 700 years later, the child does come. In the first part of the New Testament of the Bible, you've got four biographies, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, written by people who saw and witnesses were to the life of Jesus, and who speak about his life. But when it comes to the announcing of his birth, now we do things a bit different these days, don't we? If we think we're going to have a child, we usually put something up on social media. Now, here's one we had for when we were having our second child, our little Miller, who's got much shorter hair in that photo. But 2,000 years ago, there's no social media to say, look, we're going to have a kid. Mary's not like Claire in the video to begin with, sitting on a toilet there with a pregnancy test, because, let's face it, if you don't think you're going to, if there's no reason why you're pregnant, you don't buy pregnancy tests. Like, I don't go down to the shops and buy pregnancy tests just on the off chance if I win. I go, whoo, I'm going to get a couple of lines. I've never tried, but I'm sure it doesn't work. But talk about unexpected. Put yourself in Mary's shoes. Like, if things were going according to normal custom, she was probably only about 13, 14. Because women wasn't a case of waiting until you find the right one. This was often organised well in advance between the families. And as a young girl, an angel appears to her and speaks to her. I don't care what age you are. Is that not going to freak you out? The angel just appears and starts talking and then says, you know how you haven't slept with anyone? You're having a baby. Oh, and by the way, you know that kid that everyone's been looking for, that child who was going to be born, the most important person ever going to walk this earth? That's the one you got. Imagine taking that on as a young girl. Now, things weren't much easier for Joseph either. Things were pretty stressful for him. So if you think your Christmas is a bit stressful, you wait till you get a feel for Mary and Joseph, what's going on in their life. Like, Joseph puts two and two together. He's like, okay, you're pregnant. I know how this works. You don't tell me that some angel's done something and God somehow put a baby in you. But look at the words there. Angel, same angel comes to Joseph, who was going to divorce Mary. It says, she will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save people from their sins. And this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So here we go. We're making that connection to what's this Emmanuel business? It tells us here it means God with us, but within the same few verses it says, you shall name him Jesus. Jesus is this Emmanuel, God with us. The one whom we turned our back on, the one who we rejected and despised by choosing, saying we don't want you in our life. He is coming into the world. Let's give you another one of these famous parenting lines. Don't make me come over there. Don't you love that one, Mummy? Don't make me come. I haven't used that one yet. Let's wait till I can. It's kind of like saying that if I have to go over there, you're going to get the consequences of what you've done. And here we're speaking the announcement about Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, coming to the people who rejected him. But it says, you'll call him Jesus, for he will save people from their sins. So he's coming down over there, and his desire is to save, to rescue. Now, sin, as we said, is rejecting God as being our ruler. Yet when he comes into our world, his desire is to save, to rescue us from the consequences of our decisions, which he said to Adam and Eve, you will die, both physically and spiritually and eternally. This answers one of the earlier questions. Why would we celebrate a guy who lives for 33 years and he dies? Because that was part of his plan. That's why he came into the world. Because he came to save sinners who were under the punishment of death. He came so that he would die on our behalf. He would bear the consequences on our behalf so that we could have a relationship with him again. He comes into our messy world and he dies on behalf of people who are messy. We are messy. The most famous verse of the Bible speaks of that love, saying, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That believing is not just agreeing to a few facts about Jesus. It's about believing that, yes, he is worthy of all honor, and we have turned our back on him. Saying, I'm sorry, I haven't given you the honor that you deserve. And I thank you that you sent Jesus to die, to bear my punishment for me. And that I want to live in right relationship with you for the rest of my life. Now, it might be a big claim to say that. But this is the one who also rose again on the third day, seen by more than 500 people. So as we look at Jesus' birth, it's not just a kid being born. There's plan, there's a purpose, who came to save. Did you notice in the song words of Hark the Herald Angels Sing, it says, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Now, the very reason why he came into this world was to allow us to have a second chance, to be born again, to have it. We're born with a corrupt nature that's opposed to God, to make us new as we trust in him, that we can be in right relationship with him. The Bible says, all who believe he gave the right to become children of God. I like that term, children. Because I've got little kids. You know, when you have a little child, they're not a mature adult when they're born. They do all sorts of disgusting things. They're learning how to do stuff. And same thing, when you come to trust in Jesus for the first time, you're not a mature Christian. You don't expect to be like someone like that straight away. You do silly things. You make mistakes. You fall down. But as a child of God, you belong to one who has committed himself to you, who never leaves, never forsakes. Doesn't mean everything's easy in this life, but it means you've got someone with you in the middle of this mess, journeying with you, who is for you, and who promised that when you die, or when you go to be with him, that what you see back in the garden, perfect relationship with him, no more pain, no more death, no more sickness, can be yours for all eternity. Christmas isn't just spectacular because a child is born to a virgin, as impressive as that is. It is impressive because the greatest need for every single one of us to be made new, to be made right in relationship with God, has been made possible because this child was born. Now, I don't know why you're here. Could be because you invited me. I invited you. Let's get it the right way around. Could be because you lived on my street and you felt sorry for me and I asked you to come along. Could be because you heard there's a free barbecue and everyone loves a good barbecue. But all those things are just ways that you came to find out about it. But something within said, well, I want to go there. One of the strong emphases within the video is the idea of a great joy that comes from something they never planned. Something they never expected. And there's that line that says, life is what you are given. And why we celebrate Christmas is because something which is given. To return back to this reading from Isaiah, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. Jesus Christ is given to be the Saviour of the world. He is given. The question is, will you receive him? Because you can. You can trust in him today, and all he is and all he has is yours. Now, when you're hearing all these things, you could come to all sorts of conclusions. You might think, Steve, you really need to start taking your medication. You might think, Steve, you've raised some interesting things I've never thought about. I'd like to think about that a bit more. You might think, there's something in this, but I realise this has got serious life. This you're asking about a complete change of way in which I live. I'm now, you ask me to be committed to live with Jesus. You might think, I can't just make a decision like that on the spot. I want to get to know more. And hence why those packs you've got, there's a Gospel of Luke where you can read through it and see everything that Jesus' life was all about. And you can, we're happy to have someone come read that with you if you'd like. Or maybe, unbeknown to yourself, the reason why you're here is like we saw in the video, because something you didn't expect. Now, as we've talked about the significance of why Jesus was born and what it's all about, something may have just resonated and you think, hey, this makes sense. This makes sense of the world which we live in. This makes sense. This is what I long for. This is what I've been looking for. This might be the day we think it's not just a day to be impressed about a child being born to a virgin, but a day when I want to give thanks that the opportunity to be made new is being put before me. I'm going to close in prayer, and then my wife is going to come down and we're going to present to you a song. It's kind of from the perspective of Mary, kind of thinking through the responsibility she's given, but also the greater joy, not of giving birth to a child, but the fact that she has opportunity to be born again through who this child is. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, this is the greatest gift that is ever given. Because it's unlike when we're thinking about gifts for people, we think what to get them, we end up buying them socks and jocks because we don't know what to get. We all have a need for someone who can undo that corrupt nature that we've all inherited through Adam that has separated us from our loving Creator. And we thank you that you, when you came to us, you didn't come to us to give us what we deserved, but you came to us to be our rescuer and our Saviour. Lord, as we hear from this song, we pray that we may be able to rejoice in the new birth that is offered, but we also might be pondered to consider it for ourselves. Ask in Jesus' name. Amen.